Dean Mayer on LBC.
With O2 Business, who offer as much flexibility as you need for your business.
Now on LBC, as always at 10 to 5 on a Friday, live from Washington, Simon Marks's American Week.
Well, Eddie, as we go on the air this Friday, there's a bit of breaking news. At the White House, President Trump is right now announcing that Sudan and Israel have agreed to normalize relations. That is a surprise announcement that he hopes will further establish his foreign policy credentials for re-election. That news happening right now at the White House. The press pool was just called into the Oval Office, where they found the president on the telephone with both the Israeli Prime Minister and the Sudanese president. But listeners of a certain age may recall the 2000 election between George W. Bush and Al Gore. 20 years ago, it was a nail-biter, introducing us all to the concept of hanging chads, those little bits of not-quite-punched-out paper on America's ludicrous ballot forms that ended up determining the destiny of the nation. In that election, there were three presidential debates, and at each one, a different version of Al Gore showed up. Sometimes the tough guy, sometimes the aloof intellectual, sometimes the man trying just a bit too hard to connect to the regular American public. Observers wondered if he had not just a body double, but a body triple, so glaring were the inconsistencies in his personality. Watching President Trump last night, it was a similar out-of-body experience. The president, who reduced the first debate to a barroom brawl, to the point where the organizers had to go out and buy a mute button for last night's encounter, was an entirely different man. If you'd just arrived from Mars, you would have wondered what all the fuss was about. For the first and only time in this election campaign, he was focused, disciplined, and went after Joe Biden relentlessly on the issues and on the Democratic Party candidate's promises to fix things that he never got round to before.
How many of you home are worried and rolling around in bed tonight wondering what in God's name you're going to do if you get sick? We have to provide health insurance for people at an affordable rate, and that's what I do.
President Trump,
excuse me, he was there for 47 years. He didn't do it. He was now there as vice president for 8 years, and it's not like it was 25 years ago. It was 3 3/4. It was just a little while ago, right? Less than 4 years ago. He didn't do anything. He didn't do it.
Time and again, the president reminded voters that his opponent has been part of the political furniture here for half a century. And while Donald Trump at this point is very much an insider, he presented himself again as the quintessential outsider, the populist businessman simply bemused that basic stuff in Washington has never been addressed. He hammered away at Joe Biden on the Democrats' very parlous record on criminal justice reform. On immigration, while Mr. Biden promised finally to put the so-called dream, the children of illegal immigrants, onto a path to citizenship, the president challenged him. Why hadn't the Democrats done it before?
Because it made a mistake. It took too long to get it right. I'll be president of the United States, not vice president of the United States. And the fact is, I've made it very clear. Within 100 days, I'm going to send to the United States Congress a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people.
President, he had 8 years to do what he said he was going to do. He did nothing except build cages to keep children in.
Now, there were limits, of course, to the president's effectiveness on that particular issue. The man who decided it was okay to rip infant children out of the hands of their parents when they all crossed illegally into the U.S. was confronted by Joe Biden over the news this week that the Trump administration didn't keep adequate records and so is unable to reunite 545 children with their parents.
Their parents were with them. They got separated from their parents. And it makes us a laughingstock and violates every notion of who we are as a nation.
Let me ask you a follow-up question.
Kristen, they did it. We changed the policy.
Your response
they
to that?
They did it.
We
changed.
Did not.
They built the cages. Who built the cages,
let's,
Joe?
Let's talk about what
who
we're talking
cages,
about.
Joe?
Let's talk about what we're talking about. What happened? Parents were ripped. Their kids were ripped from their arms and separated. And now they cannot find over 500 of sets of those parents, and those kids are alone. Nowhere to go. It's criminal. It's criminal.
But even there, you could hear Joe Biden trying to evade culpability for the Obama administration's very checkered record on the issue. There's a reason why President Trump's predecessor used to be known by immigrant rights groups as the deporter-in-chief. Joe Biden portrayed this election as a battle for the character of America, and President Trump intimated that we've got Barack Obama and Joe Biden to thank for his emergence on the national stage.
You know, Joe, I ran because of you. I ran because of Barack Obama, because you did a poor job. If I thought you did a good job, I would have never run.
All right, Vice President Biden, your response to that, and then I do have some questions for both of you.
Well, I tell you what, you know who I am. You know who he is. You know his character. You know my character. You know our reputations for honor and telling the truth. The character of the country is on the ballot. Our character is on the ballot. Look at us closely.
The character that President Trump wants the country to examine is that of his opponent, despite the fact that the Trump family has spent 4 years enriching themselves to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars as a direct consequence of their patriarch finding himself in the Oval Office. This was another week when President Trump argued that it's Joe Biden who heads, as he's called it, an organized crime family. With more front than Harrods, the president seized on an unverified report published by the New York Post. It alleges Joe Biden and his son Hunter were complicit in a corruption scheme in China, which led us all to the edge of the abyss last night.
All of the emails, the horrible emails of the kind of money that you were raking in, you and your family. And Joe, you were vice president when some of this was happening. And it should have never happened. And I think you owe an explanation to the American people.
I have not taken a penny from any foreign source ever in my life. We learned that this president paid 50 times the tax in China, has a secret bank account with China, does business in China, and in fact is talking about me taking money. This is a president. I have released all of my tax returns. 22 years. Go look at them. 22 years of my tax return. You have not released a single solitary year of your tax return. What are you hiding? What's going on here? Why don't release your tax return or stop talking about corruption?
Now, anyone who has been watching President Trump knows that's a non-starter. He's not going to stop accusing Joe Biden of being a modern-day Al Capone, and he's not going to release his tax returns either. Joe Biden made headway last night on the issue of the president's racism, brushing off Donald Trump's repeated absurd claim that he's done more for black Americans than any president, with the possible, only possible, mind you, exception of Abraham Lincoln. You know, the guy who freed the slaves.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire. Every single one. Started off his campaign coming down the escalator saying he's going to get rid of those Mexican rapists. He's banned Muslims because they're Muslims. He says to the, about the poor boys, last time we were on stage here, he said, I told them to stand down and stand ready. Come on. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
He meant, of course, the far-right Proud Boys there, not the poor boys, but he got his zinger in nonetheless. Joe Biden accused the president of being soft on thugs like Kim Jong-un, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. In classic style, President Trump ignored a question of what he plans to do to hold the Kremlin accountable for Russian interference happening right now in America's election. They clashed on COVID-19. Joe Biden thinks it's a serious problem and that a dark winter lies ahead. President Trump still thinks it will just go away. Although this morning we learnt that on debate day itself, more than 77,000 new cases were recorded, a one-day record here. Fresh evidence that the US is not, as the president claims, rounding a corner in its battle against the pandemic. Where does this all leave us? Well, for 48 million Americans, the debate was irrelevant. They've already voted. That's more than a third of the total number of people who took part in 2016. And even if you think there are an enormous number of people out there who haven't made up their minds, and there's no evidence that's the case, then it's far from clear that one solitary focused performance by the president overcomes all the fire, brimstone and lunacy that he has relentlessly displayed on the campaign trail. How bad are things looking for the Republicans? Bad enough that last Friday, Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican senator from Nebraska, broke with Donald Trump. telling some of his big money supporters that the president is leading the party to an electoral slaughter.
The way he kisses dictators' butts, it isn't just that he fails to lead our allies, it's that the United States now regularly sells out our allies under his leadership. The way he treats women and spends like a drunken sailor, he mocks evangelicals behind closed doors. His family has treated the presidency like a business opportunity. He's flirted with white supremacists.
One Republican senator trying to save his own hide and avoid the bloodbath, he says, and the polls suggest, is coming. We're almost at the finish, and the candidates last night looked exhausted, especially Joe Biden. We haven't seen a presidential contender looking so pale during a TV debate since Richard Nixon in 1960. And that one was filmed in black and white. Republicans who have urged the president to get serious for weeks have now caught just a glimpse of what might have been. They've got to be wondering, Eddie, if it's too late for President Trump to persuade the public that he isn't the man they know him to be.
Simon Marks' American Week, back next Friday at 10 to 5. This is LBC. I'm Eddie Mayer.